So I want to say, before I say anything, I want to say thank you to everyone who has donated to my trips. I know a lot of you have been praying for me, and we are very, very thankful for your prayers. We definitely needed them. And I just want to say, first and foremost, thank you for your donations. Thank you for all who have donated towards my trip, because I wouldn't be able to have gone if it wasn't for you. I need your support. So even though you weren't there with us, you helped us get there, and I want to say thank you for that, because I want to be able to do what I do without you guys. So I have myself a little bit more together right now than I did first service, but basically what I wanted to share was we forget so much. We forget about what's really important. We forget about Jesus, and we forget about the cross, and we forget about the punishment that he took for our sins and what he did for us, and we won't be able to find the words to tell you guys what we saw there. The people we worked with lost everything. The first day we went out, we saw the destruction, and you drive through. I have videos and pictures, but you just drive through these villages, and everything is gone. Everything is just in crumbles, and we get back to our hotel, and the pastor says, today was okay. It'll get worse, and we're looking at each other thinking, how can it get any worse? But when it comes down to it, the Great Commission, sharing the gospel, sharing the love of God, is for each and every one of us. And it may not necessarily mean traveling on the other side of the world like I love to do, that God laid on my heart. But sharing the love of Christ is every single one of us going to our neighbors and our brothers and our sisters and at work. When we go get gas, when we go to the store or the restaurant, sharing the love of Christ is in each and every one of us. And we're called to do that. We're called to share the love of Christ everywhere we go. And the scripture that kept coming to mind throughout the trip was, they will know that you are my disciples for the way you love one another. And I think so often we get so busy with life, we get so busy with our schedules, we get so busy with whatever, stress, that we forget that we know God. Yeah. God is our Savior, and we need to share that with others. Some of the people that we talked to in Nepal, they've never heard of this before. There's people that are lost and broken all around us that don't know the love of God, and we're called. We have a responsibility. We have an opportunity to share that love with everyone around us. So I just want to encourage you, get involved in every single one of you, everyone in this whole entire church. You have a spot in the Great Commission. You have the opportunity to share love, to bless people every single where you go.
Good. Amen.
Hi, guys. Hello. Yeah, there I am. Okay. I just want to start off by saying thank you to everyone, because, like, without anyone who ever donated to me or Shandy or any other way that you donated, like, this would not have been able to happen, and just not possible other than, obviously, God. But he definitely had a huge part in that, too, so I already thanked him, so. But going before this trip, I've never done anything like this before, and I don't know what I'm supposed to say, so the Holy Spirit might just throw up everywhere, so just be careful.
I've never heard that before.
The Holy Spirit throw up. Okay. She's like, the Holy Spirit's about to explode.
Okay. Yeah, they're talking about me, so I have no idea what I'm about to say. Okay, so if you want to change the world, all you have to do is have Jesus in your eyes and in your heart, and people will see it, and it will change the world. All you got to do is speak into a microphone and say, Jesus is King, and you will change the world. That's all you need to do. And I look around, and like, just so many people just don't know that. And going to another country, you'll never... Your heart will never ache until you look into someone's eyes and you notice that you can't tell them that Jesus loves them because you don't speak their language.
Yeah.
And that will rock your world. And I've never felt a feeling like that before in my life. And that just really changed my heart, and it changed my mind, and it just changed my whole entire relationship with Jesus Christ, because I've never had an ache in my heart for seeing how many people hurting and how many people just needing Jesus. So another thing that I learned is when people greet each other, they bow their heads and then they say namaste, and that just is a hello, a greeting, and whatever. But on the first day that we went into the villages, we learned a word. The word is jemise, and you say it jemise, the same that you would say namaste. But the thing with jemise is that it literally means victory in Christ. So when they greeted each other, they said jemise, and they bowed, and they honored each other. And every single time that they said hello to someone, they said, Jesus is King. And to me, that was just so powerful, because it's just like, what if we walked into this church and every single time we looked into someone's eyes, we said, Jesus is King and Jesus is my Savior and Jesus is life. So that trip changed my life.
Good.
And I had no idea that this would do this to my life. So I'm just really grateful, and I encourage you, because Jesus can use you. Jesus can use anyone, and it'll change your life. So good. Just continue donating, continue doing anything you can do. Continue looking people in the eye and telling them about Jesus, because when you get here, when you get to the moment that I am in, and you look into a little girl's eyes, and all you want to do is tell them that Jesus loves you and that Jesus created you and that Jesus is going to save you and protect you, and you can't, it'll break your heart. So I just really encourage you to step out and to serve Jesus.
Good. Good. Thank you, girls. Come on, give them another big God bless you, would you? Shandy's going back over to Big Kid. She's just not leaving now. Thank you both, girls. Amazing. I know that feeling of looking at somebody, you don't have their language, but speaking into their life. I also wanted to remind those of you who are going to L.A., there's a trip, a meeting about that trip right after this service, right out back. Just need you for about 7-8 minutes and talk about it. If you have any inclination that you'd like to go to Los Angeles on the missions trip in July, come to that meeting. We want to pray with you and help you to believe God to make that happen. Amen. Father, just for the next few moments, be honored in everything that we do and everything that we say in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. I want to share something with you before I share something with you. Is that okay? Actually, I haven't spoken in a little over a week, so I've got some pent-up frustration inside of me that I want to get out of. No, not really. I just want to share a couple scriptures, and I did this on Thursday night because I want everybody to understand this. Sometimes I think the Bible says in Hosea, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. And I want to give you just a little bit of vegetable here this morning. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11 through 16, I just want to, just for a moment before I share with you what I'm going to, I want to remind you the importance of the giftings of different offices and anointings that we have speak into the church. When somebody likes a Tommy Reed comes, and, you know, invariably I get, no matter who, I think if I had Jesus himself speak on a Sunday, somebody would come up to me the next week and said, and would say, well, he's good, but we want to hear you. and you know, I could take that and say, oh, yeah, I'm all that. But the reality of it is that when you think that way and you look at it that way, that you're missing a great opportunity of an impartation into your life that God wants to put. And it only comes through what is called this fivefold ministry. And so Ephesians chapter 4 and 11, it says that Christ himself, it's not a man that gives, but Jesus Christ himself, he gave apostles. Those are people that set things in order. I mean, we could go into this in a length, but I don't want to do that. Tommy Reed is an apostle. Ron Domina, my pastor, apostles. These are men that have oversight and gifting to the body of Christ. And we need to hear that voice. So Jesus gives some apostles. He gives prophets. And I always like to liken it to a man's hand, the thumb being the apostle, the prophet being the pointing finger. When David said, bring that man who did this to me, Nathan said, you're the man. The evangelist, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. The evangelist, he's the one that's the farthest. He reaches the farthest out. Most times the evangelist is the most vocal too. He gives the pastor, he's married to the church. And then the teacher, he'll get down into the ear. He's the smallest. He'll get into the ear of the person. We need that. Why? Because the Bible goes on to say that the body of Christ may be built up. Well, first, I want to say this in verse 12. It says, to equip his people for works of service. If you're ever going to do anything great for God, you need these voices into your life to equip you for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up to reach the unity and faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the full measure of Christ. Verse 14, that will no longer be infants. He goes back to that. There's a maturing in this process that we need in our lives, that we won't be infants, tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and every cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking truth in love, will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Every one of these parts, the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, has a special anointing to impart something into your life that helps you grow and to helps you understand what the work of the Lord is and helps you find your place in the kingdom of God. Because you're all made to be different. And not everybody is going to be like you or me. And aren't you glad for that? Come on. And we have to invite diversity in our lives. And when I say diversity, I'm not suggesting diversity in the respect of, I mean, the news is plastered today with Bruce Jenner and alternative lifestyle. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not here to talk down about any of that. If it's not in God's word, though, I don't care what the culture says. It doesn't go with him. It has nothing to do with what I think or what you think. It has everything to do with what God says. And I'm not here to beat up on anybody. Somebody sent me a message this week and they wanted to know. I want to know your position on something. My position on gays is God loves them. I do too. But the Bible says that marriage is between a man and a woman. That doesn't mean I'm going to gay bash. I'm not going to do it. I'm never going to do that. You're never going to see me holding a picket up. You'll see me coming up and put my arm around them because it's the love of God that caused sinners to repent. Nothing else. Amen. So diversity, though, in music, in style, in dress. Some people, they get this in their mind that it's this way and that's the only way. And that's not true. Danny, come on up. Help me here. Because the Bible is, and I love the scripture. And I got my man here to help me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. It would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Can you imagine if everybody looked the same way? If everybody was just big ears? We need one another. Come on today. Or if everybody just had great big eyes. Or if everybody... You got to lose the shoes, dude. I told you that in first service, which you've come up here and forget, man. Or if everybody was just feet. Listen to me. That's just funny stuff right there. He goes on to say, there's many parts. Well, I think this is the way it should be. Well, great. Well, I think it should be this way. Well, great. But we need, how you doing there, dude? We'll give it all up here. We need all. Go ahead, get pictures. You can use it against them later. We need all the parts of the body, don't we, though? Come on today. Some of you, you don't even know what takes place. The people that really make it happen, sometimes you don't even see. I mean, I'm shocked sometimes when people say, you mean we have a clothing? We have a place here where people can get clothes? They not only don't know that we have a clothing connection that's been going on for years, they don't know the person that is in there. Because they're not interested in the ears, they're too caught up in the feet. And God wants the body to function together, to be as one. You need one another. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I need you. Come on, look at them and say, I need you. I don't care whether they got tattoos on or earrings or eye rings or nose rings or rings in other places. We need one another today. Amen. Come on, give it up for Danny here. You want them lips, don't you? We need one another. You can't live in this box and think, well, this is the way it should be. Come on. Every part creates the body of Christ. That's what makes a healthy home. Amen. And, you know, I got pondering on that, and this title just came to me. You're not all that. You're just not all that. And in that, you have to learn that you can't just please everyone either. This is one of the biggest things, because becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. You got to come up to a level. The truth is, no matter how hard you try, you're never going to please everyone. And this is so hard to really embrace, especially to people that have this propensity that really love people. You want to make everybody like you, and sometimes you do all kinds of things to do that. But at the end of the day, if that's what you live for, you're going to come up empty and miserable and hurt and broken. You can't do it. You might have some people in your life that you think, well, I can't make everybody, but I got to make those people happy. Well, you know, there's a small element of truth. I tell everybody, listen, I help people. I talk to people all the time. But I tell them right out, if I'm counseling a couple that is having marital problems, years ago, I would take my nights and I would spend with them. I was working harder than they were for their marriage. And I found out after a time, that doesn't work. It doesn't work for them, and it doesn't work with me. So at the end of the day, I'm going home with the blonde and her only. I'm not worried about making everybody else happy. I'm worried about making her happy, and I work good at it too, don't I, baby? Whew, getting hot up in here right now. The truth is, you're not designed to please everybody, but you are designed to please God. And living for God is not living for the approval of people, but instead living for an audience of one. When you please God, the Bible says when you honor God, he'll even make your enemies at peace with you. You got to learn, and I, to please God. And Paul goes on in the book of Galatians. He talks to the people of Galatia because they were scattered all around. It was a mess, and he comes in to figure out and to try to bring some sense to the mess because they're confused. One is saying you don't have to be circumcised. Another one is saying you do. One is saying you don't need the law. Another is saying you do. And then you got some, we don't need any of it. And some say we need a part of it. And Paul comes in and says, listen, faith in Christ alone is what will cause you to serve and to please God. And he didn't win a popularity contest over that. In fact, many people would get angry and mad at him. And at the end of the day, he doesn't soften his message to get the approval of men. And you've heard me say this before. I am not in a popularity contest, because when you stand before God, you don't want to have in your resume somebody that told you everything to make you feel good about you. You want somebody to tell you what it's going to take for you to live in eternity with Jesus forever. Come on today. And Paul says in Galatians 1:10, he says, obviously, I'm not trying to be a people pleaser. No, I'm trying to please God. If I were trying to please people, I would not be the servant of Jesus Christ. And that is so important. You need to love him and to serve him with all of your heart. And when you do that, you don't have to worry about pleasing anybody else, whether they like you or not. You've got the applause of God in heaven. Come on today. Here's four characteristics of people pleasers. And when I was putting these down, this really caught my heart, because I have a propensity to want to do that. Believe it or not, I want people to like me. I really do. I mean, I do to a point. Here's some characteristics of people pleasers. They take criticism personally. Take it personally. Boy, that's me. Oh, I struggle sometimes. I got to get delivered from that. They feel an extraordinary fear of rejection. Well, what if they don't like me? What if I do all this and then they don't like me? They find it hard to express their feelings, and then they have a hard time saying no. Does anybody else ever have that problem, or am I the only one? You have a hard time saying no. You tend to overcommit. you are agreeable on the outside. Oh, yeah, I'd love to do that. But in the inside, you're thinking, what am I getting myself up into? You got to learn to not please people, but to please God. In this book, this woman by the name of Harriet Breaker wrote a book called The Disease to Please. And she uses these metaphors that she says, people pleasers are like drug addicts. They get their high off of trying to please other people. Now listen, there's nothing wrong to doing things with excellence and serving one another. But when you do it just for the applause of people and not for the applause of God, you're doing it for the wrong reason. People pleasing is a form of idolatry. When we surrender our lives to the opinion of people instead of the opinion of God, we're elevating people into the place of where God is supposed to be. Are you listening to me? Because I care more about what you think than what God thinks. And that's a form of idolatry. A great example in the New Testament is when some of the leaders wouldn't go public with their faith. And that, believe it or not, is what some of us do. We're afraid to go public with our faith. We're afraid to let anybody know that we're a Christian, because if we do, we're going to get labeled. We're going to get looked down upon. Somebody is going to say, oh, you're one of those born again people. And instead of standing up and say, well, actually I am. I love the Lord because he changed my life. He redeemed me from a pit. He saved me. And on someday, I'm going to go to heaven with him. I was at a breakfast this week at a restaurant. George, I told you I was going to use you. He says, when I told him I was going to use him, he puts his head in his hand. He says, oh dear, no, don't use me. But it was so great. I was having breakfast with somebody. He'd gotten out of the gym and we were leaving, and George Forsythe was sitting there. He said, sit down. I said, George, I can't. I got to go. He said, sit down. And the people pleaser that I am, I sat right down. He begins to talk, and we just begin to talk about some things. And my son Ryan came up, sat down next to him, put his arm around him. He was talking, and then the waitress comes up. Now, I think George has been in this restaurant for a long time, and I don't know if he's ever said anything to her, but we're sitting there, and he says, excuse me, to the waitress. He said, do you know who this is? And I just hate it when he does that to me. There I am. I'm sweaty from the gym. I'm sitting there in my shorts and my t-shirt. He said, this is the pastor of the city church downtown. And he says, do you go to church anywhere? You could tell this woman, the coffee was shaking in the pot a little bit. He's thinking, where is this old buzzard going with this? He says, you know something? Let me tell you something. You should make time in your week to go to church, because someday the end of your life is going to come, and you're going to go to heaven, and you're going to face God. And he's going to look in the book to see if your name was there, if you made a commitment to him. And if it is, he's going to welcome you in. But if it's not, you're going to be cast out into darkness. I'm there, come on, George, lay it down. Why don't you? And the lady says, okay, thank you very much. He went public with his faith. He wasn't afraid. And we shouldn't wait until the end of our days. This is the perfect time. Guys, get these little cards now, because I'm going to give you an opportunity to go public with your faith and to take one of these and give it to somebody and say, hey, why don't you come to church on Father's Day? We got somebody coming in, former American Idol. You don't have to tell him he's going to preach the gospel or anything, but you can go public with your faith and forget about the opinion of man, but be more concerned in your life with what God says and what he thinks about you, because people pleasing is a form of idolatry. And the Bible says in John chapter 12, because the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than they loved the praise of God. Come on, where are you in that today? Are you more concerned with what men say about you, or are you concerned with what God has to say about you? Because there's people-pleasing traps that the enemy will try to get you in. And the Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord He is kept safe. And that word there, snare, it's an old Hebrew word, mokesh. It means a noose. It means a hook for the nose. That when you're afraid of what man may say, come on, I hope I'm raising up some evangelist in here today. When you're afraid of what man may say to you, it's like a hook right in your nose. It's just pulling you around. No, don't do that because somebody's not going to like you then. You know what I've learned over life? Some people have gotten mad at me for sharing the gospel with them. That same person that got mad at me when they were on their deathbed at the hospital, guess who they wanted to see? Wah. I'll never forget my wife's grandfather on her mother's side. Hated me. That kid thinks he's some kind of preacher. I just gave my heart to Christ. I was like a little fireball evangelist. Everybody needed to get saved. I was telling everybody about the Lord. And he hated me for that. He treated me bad. He talked bad about me. He tried to get me away from his granddaughter. He didn't want nothing to do with me until he got in the hospital and he thought he was going to die. And he called who would be my father-in-law, Andy Breckenridge. He called him up. Come see me, Andy, and bring that kid with you. Because truth lives. And when you preach the gospel of Jesus, I don't care what the atmosphere in society is telling you at the time. At the end of the day, people want to know that they have an eternal destiny with God in heaven. Oh my God. Here's a people-pleasing trap. I will compromise for you trap. Trying to please kids in dating situations. Come on, kids, you're graduating from school. Don't get caught up in the nonsense of what everybody else is doing. It's not party time. It may be a party time, but don't get caught up in the world's kind of party. Don't let some guy or girl pull you off and say, come on, if you really love me, you do this with me. Oh, I'm getting right into your business now, aren't I? Don't get into that compromise trap because it's a hook. It'll drag you in the wrong direction. Another trap is the overcommit for you trap, trying to do everything for everyone else, but leaving my family and God till very last. It's not healthy, it's not right, and it's like a hook in your nose. The other one is, I will let you limit my success trap. Listen to this. You have a vision for more in your life. Maybe it's business, maybe it's ministry. And the more you do and the higher God lifts you up, the more it causes the people that are around you now not to like you. Can I tell you something today? Get over it. Because if you cave into that, it's a trap in your life. And the enemy will use that as a snare and keep you from the high calling in Christ Jesus. A lot of times people will stop doing the right thing because of the opinion of others. Some of you have an incredible anointing on your life for business, for ministry. You have a calling on your life to make a ton of money and give it to the kingdom of God. But you might be in a circle where there's a bunch of chickens pecking around on you saying, don't leave me, don't leave me, don't become an eagle and fly. And if you let them do that to you, it will stifle the calling of God over your life. Come on. Come out from among them. Rise to the level that God has called you to be. And be who he's called you to be. Some of you are hearing these testimonies saying, man, I'd love to go on a mission trip, but I'm not. That's just not me. I couldn't do that. Why can't that be you? That wasn't Ashley. That wasn't Shandy. I remember when Shandy first came in here. She's just a little kid. She didn't know nothing, but she had a hunger for God. She wanted to do something great. She wanted to impact the world. Come on, how about you? Are you going to let some people around you talk down to you and say, that's not you, you can't do that? Or are you going to get into the flow with the plans and the purposes of God and rise to a level and not let people put that snare in your nose and keep you from what he has called you to do? Some of you got ministry. Some of you got calling on your life to do something. And if you let others keep you from it, it's idolatry because you're putting them ahead of God in your life. It's surrendering and sacrificing the values, the call of God on your lives for the opinion and the approval of others. And at the end of the day, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, you'll find yourself empty. You'll find yourself left hopeless. You'll find yourself without no peace. People cannot meet your need. Only Jesus can lift you up higher than you have ever been before. Amen. Come on. And what is the answer? I'm going to close with this. The fear of God is the best antidote for the fear of people. Hear that now. It's not just being independent and arrogant. Well, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Remember, I hit this guy years ago. I got saved and God's the only one. That's not what I'm talking about. That's foolishness. I'm talking about being led and just being controlled by people so much that you don't let God control you. Because if you go into your job on Monday morning and you say to your boss, I'm not here to please you today. I'm here to please God. Guess what? Don't call me for a job on Monday. You got to work for them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that same job when somebody is talking off-color jokes. Instead of you stepping in there and ha-ha-ha-ha with them, you gracefully step away because you're called to a higher calling. You're not going to compromise who you are for the lowness of life that some are living. You're going to rise to a higher level. The antidote is the love of God, the fear of God. If you're a people pleaser, people are too big in your life and God is too small in your life. Oh, I just like that. The Bible says in Psalm 34:9, let the Lord's people show him reverence, for those who will honor him will have all that they need. Amen. When God becomes first, you will not need the approval of people because you have the approval of God himself. Come on. Did you get anything out of that today? Come on. Did you receive from that today? Some of you, you've lived your life trying to make everybody else happy. You know, husbands, can I just insert this in there? In your life, in your family. If I had a nickel for every time a man said, I tried to make her happy. I give her my paycheck. What more does she want? Dude, if you'll please God, I'm talking to husbands now. If you'll honor God with your life, if you'll become on fire for God with your life, you may say, well, I don't know what to do. Serve him. Give him your life. You're not going to be like me. You might not be a foot or an eye or an ear, but you'll be something. Serve him. Find out what your niche, your calling is. And when you serve him, let me tell you something. Something will happen in your home. There'll be sparks flying in your home. Not because you're just pleasing her. But when you please God, you will please her. I'm telling you, every wife ought to be amening me really loud right now. You're weak. Come on, I'll give you one more chance. Come on, wives. I like that. Wives. Here we go. You're trying to please your husband? Oh, we're called to please one another to a level. But if you're leaving God out of it, it's going to be empty. It's going to get boring. You're just going to be going through the most. All the pizzazz is going to be gone. The thrill is gone. You got to please God. Ladies, if you'll please him, if you'll please the Lord, God, your husbands will see something bright and beautiful inside of you. Serve him. Find out what God's called you to do. And do it with all of your heart. So, well, I just don't know what to do. You know what you do then? You just start doing something. You'll find out what fit. All of a sudden, well, that's not it. Oh, that's not it. Oh, man, I really like that. And all of a sudden, you just engage in it. Because you're being built up. And you're doing what I'm talking though. People that have been married, I don't care if you've been married 50 years or 5 years, if you'll serve God with your lives and put him first, he will heal what's broken in your life. Yay! Close your eyes, bow your head with me. the kindness of God is what I sense today. Kindness of God. Oh, mighty Lord. Just four more minutes. We're going to close. I'm going to let you go. Great things are happening right now in some hearts and lives. Maybe you've just recently made a commitment to Christ. You've lived your life. You compromised. Some of you are struggling with addictions. It's because you got into a group and they convinced you to do something that is wrong, and now you're living a life and it's hard for you to disengage from it. And the end thereof is death. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. If you keep on going in that direction, your life will be hurt, harmed, destroyed. He can save you at any point, but why go through the pain? Please Him. Live for Him. Some of you have come out of a dark situation. He has His hand on your life to do something so powerful. He wants to use you. He's not so concerned where you've been as He is with where you're going. And if you'll give Him all, He'll do something that you never dreamed of. He'll take you places that you never thought you'd go. He'll expose you to people you never thought you'd ever meet and see. A man's gift will make room for Him and take him before great men. You're here today and you never gave your heart to Christ. That's where it begins. You have to surrender your life to Him. That's not joining a church. That's allowing Him to speak into your life. Making Him first place. Making Him Lord of your life. Thank you, Lord. If that's you right where you're at today, just say, God, I want You to be first in my life. I ask You, say right where you're at, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior. I'm going to live for You all the days of my life. Do you know when you live for God, the most exciting days in your life are ahead of you. Thank You, Lord God. I give You all the praise and the glory for what You're doing here now. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. Come on, do you love Him today? Do you love God today? Prayer folk, come on down. I love you. God has a plan for you. He's going to do something great in you. Maybe you need prayer today. Maybe you ask Christ to come into your heart. Want to give you a Bible. These folks want to pray over you and help you. Maybe you've been just a people pleaser and you've missed out in some things in your life. Let them pray over you before you go. I love you. Go in God's grace today. If you want to go to LA or you're going, meet us in the Outback right after this service. I love you. I'll see you this week. God bless you so much.